Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Looking ahead to the Vols' big matchup against South Carolina. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Doing well. Happy to jump on with you all this morning.
Well, happy to have you on with us. And Joe Rexrode has been an old man all week this week about the jerseys that Tennessee is wearing tomorrow. What are your thoughts on the black jerseys that Tennessee is going to trot out there tomorrow morning?
Well, first, my thoughts are on Joe being an old man, because that just sounds about right in every single way. I mean, that's just accurate. So you're I don't know if we can really count.
Yeah, you're like a big pro combat guy, aren't you?
I did, but way back when, those Michigan State, like, gold, black pro combats were pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Tell him. Yes. No, they weren't. They were stupid, but go ahead.
You know, I like this for Tennessee. It's something they've talked about, especially last year under Jeremy Pruitt. Like, this kind of started then, I believe. It's been a talk for a while. It's been 12 years since they've worn them. It's kind of a cool moment to come and do it. And weirdly, it seems like South Carolina wears black a lot when they play Tennessee, so it's kind of a funny twist on that in a way. Yeah, why not? I mean, Heupel barely touched on this yesterday, but this is the kind of thing that recruits honestly do care about. They care about uniforms. They care about the flash and stuff. I mean, this stuff matters. People pay attention to it.
Well, so it's interesting with this. I mean, again, yes, I am absolutely old man yelling at cloud, gov my lawn, et cetera, on these stupid uniforms. But is it for this week? Is it because you have a better chance of winning in it? Like, wouldn't this be like the uniform you bust out for like Bama or something? Because that's like a huge game. Or I guess Georgia comes to Knoxville this year, even Ole Miss primetime. Or is it like, if we're going to bust out these uniforms, maybe for a more winnable game, then people won't say that the uniforms cost us the game? Or am I overthinking
this? No, I like the thought more of busting out a black alternate for a night game against Ole Miss or a Halloween weekend game. I think that makes a lot of sense from a thought standpoint. But I do think there is a fan association with outcomes when it comes to alternate jerseys. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last time Tennessee wore the Smoky Gray is they lost 41-0 to Georgia. those are the kind of things that are remembered and associated with the alternate. They're bad luck. This is why you don't mess with the tradition, yada, yada. So I do think that you select a game that you feel like you're going to win. So there's a positive association with the alternate uniform.
Actually, if they play Georgia, it's just be in disguise and hope Georgia doesn't see them on the field. It might be the way to go with that one. But okay, on from the uniforms to the team, Mike. How impressed were you last week? How surprised were you? Where do you think this team is right now?
Yeah, it's funny. I was the most bullish person among our about 10 people at the New Sentinel who pick the games every week, and I had Tennessee winning by 13. Most people had them losing. So it was shocking. I mean, to see a team come out and score 45 first-half points like that. But it wasn't even just the points. It was just downright domination offensively. And you know, I've covered Tennessee since 2017, and that's just not a game that you've seen. I mean, it was even more convincing in the manner in which it was done than some of those blowouts you see against FCS teams, just the way that they played, the way they executed, the way they went through it. And I think it's largely a huge credit to Hendon Hooker. I mean, he's inserted a life into this offense that was missing with a lot of failed execution earlier in the season.
Mike, what have been your impressions of this defense so far? Because, I mean, I had very low expectations coming into this year. And look, they gave up 41 to Pittsburgh, 38 to Florida. They're going to give up some points as they continue to go throughout the schedule here. But I thought just an outstanding game played against Missouri defensively. And I think another big opportunity tomorrow as well to continue to build on that against the South Carolina offense that has not been very good thus far.
Yeah, 100%. This is a unit that was hard to evaluate going into the year. Returned a lot of starters up front in the secondary, but largely starters that hadn't been very good or productive on a consistent basis. But I think the secondary's been really good. They've forced a good bunch of turnovers now. I think Theo Jackson's playing tremendous football, but Jalen McCullough is playing really well too. Alante Taylor and Warren Burrell are doing well at corner. But to me, it's up front. They've generated more pressure than I would have expected them to, because last year, I mean, the defensive line couldn't pressure anyone. It was an abysmal unit. But they're doing a lot better with that. I still think they're better against the run than against the pass in terms of up front. But they are playing a lot better. And it's hard to know if you're going to get that with a lot of returners that haven't played well. But these guys are playing a lot better than they did last year.
I want to go back to quarterback for a minute, Mike. Obviously, Hooker has to be the guy. He's earned it. He's looked really good out there. What do you think the future is? Because you, as coaches, Josh Heupel and Alex Golish, I mean, they have to think about like managing the room too, right, with every decision. Ultimately, you have to win. If you scratch out a win every week, you can do it. But how do you think it plays out in the room moving forward if Hooker solidifies himself and keeps playing like this?
It's a hard one, because you certainly do have the chance, potentially, to lose both Joe Milton and Harrison Bailey, both of whom have 3-plus years eligibility left to go and play somewhere else. So, because Milton came in with 3 left, he can bounce out and play 2 somewhere else, although I guess he would lose the one-time transfer element, if I understand that rule correctly. And Bailey would have... this year could be used as a redshirt. He would have multiple years left, too. So you do run the risk of losing both of those guys, which leaves you with Hendon Hooker, freshman quarterback coming in. Trace Jackson, I believe, is the commitment for 2022. Taven Jackson, excuse me.
Yep.
So right away, you've got those two, and you're chasing a transfer at that point to be your backup. So it is a tricky one, trying to manage that room. But that's what a lot of places go through with quarterbacks now. I mean, that's such a transfer-happy position.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Mike, what do you think is going on with Jalen Hyatt right now? Obviously, he gets hurt in the Pittsburgh game, and injury has been a part of the story, but not much of a factor since he's been back and been available to Tennessee. Number one, do you think he's completely healthy? And number two, what do you think is going on in terms of his role in this Tennessee offense?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because, you know, going into this year, I think when you looked at Tennessee's offense, you saw Jalen Hyatt and Velus Jones, and you're thinking those are 1A, 1B at wide receiver, but it really hasn't been that way. It's been Cedric Tillman and Javonte Payton, and now Velus Jones has jumped in that mix too in the past couple weeks. Yeah, Alex Golish talked about that earlier this week. Just, I think he kind of said that Jalen Hyatt has to kind of get his process right in terms of preparing and learning how to play in the offense. And it's surprising to hear that, because he is such a skilled player. But just sounds like he's not right where everyone else is in that room at this point. And that's a guy that I think Tennessee could certainly use. He's got game-breaking speed and a lot of talent. So I do think he's got to be in that mix. But those comments were interesting earlier this week.
Yeah, and it is surprising. It's disappointing, because I think he might be the most talented of the bunch. Well, Mike, you know what I have to ask you about, right?
Oh boy,
I'm scared.
Yeah, no, you should don't be scared. No, believe me, don't worry. I'm not gonna embarrass you publicly this time. I gotta ask you.
I can do that by myself anyway.
I'm gonna ask you about basketball.
Oh yes, let's go.
Have you been to practice?
Yeah, Tennessee had an open practice at the start of the preseason last week. So got a new look, and man, they needed to put some name tags on those guys. It's a totally different roster. 8 new guys, 6 returners. So it is so different going over there and seeing that group now. I mean, Eve Pons has been such a staple. He's gone. It's basically John Fulkerson and a whole bunch of other people that I need to learn about.
John Fulkerson wearing like a T-shirt that looks like a NASCAR car with like 18 different sponsors on it, and then a bunch of kids, huh?
Hey, John Fulkerson's probably making more from NIL deals than I am this year, so good for him.
Probably.
I'm trying to feel better about myself.
What should the Tennessee fan optimism level be about this team? Take away the whole Rick Barnes and the tournament thing, but just the potential for this team to be really good.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pieces, and I say that because I don't know what those pieces are going to look like. I think kind of 2 factors probably matter most at this point, and that's is Kennedy Chandler going to be dominant as a point guard? Because that's something that they haven't had since Jordan Bone left. They haven't had that true point guard running the show. And I think they've got the chance to have that with Kennedy Chandler. And I'm also very interested in how this team plays defensively. Eve Pons is gone, and that was the guy who defined their defense. And Santiago Viscovi, Justin Powell, those guys aren't one-on-one lockdown defender types. So I'm very curious to see how this team defends, because I'm not sure past Josiah Jordan James that I look at a guy and say, that's a plus defender. I think guys like Jemai Meshack and Kennedy Chandler can be that. And I think within a team defensive scheme, they can be good. But I don't see those lockdown guys that they've had at points in the past, like a Jordan Bowden, Lamonte Turner, and certainly no one like Eve Pons.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Mike, we appreciate you taking time to join us and tolerating Joe's Rexro's old man tendencies this morning here on the program.
Yeah, I might need to stop responding to his texts.
He's used to it.
Mike, we appreciate you, brother.
Thanks.
See ya.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll come back and respond a little bit to what Mike had to say there. Continue to look ahead at this game for the Vols tomorrow against South Carolina. And we'll get to a little college basketball talk as well that Joe Rexro is forcing me to do. All that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, what a beautiful song. Bringing us back in from break from Creed. Joe Rexro jamming out here, coming back in. We got to get him on the show one day. We've got to have Scott Stapp on here.
That's fine. He can.
We need to make a push to get him on.
You
here.
Interview him.
Joe, would you not talk to him?
Yes, he would.
I refuse to talk to Scott Stapp. I refuse. No, I'd talk to him. I'd say, hey, you seem like a nice guy. Your music sucks, but whatever. I mean,
what was the bigger moment for you? The halftime show at the Cowboys Thanksgiving game, or letting Joe Rexro witness you in person at Bridgestone Arena last year at intermission?
Yeah. Well, I didn't even know about this Cowboys thing. You keep bringing it up.
I've shown you the video.
Yeah. But that, like, I didn't know it existed, until you.
It's
but
a big
yes,
deal.
I could not escape this, the ear assault that happened to me at Bridgestone last year. It was actually ear assault.
Look,
I think I should sue Sean Henry for ear assault.
He's doing something right, man. Sarah Sivian of The Athletic loved it. Creed sold a lot of music out there, man.
I'm aware that a lot of people like a lot of bad music. This is not new information.
I'm just pointing it out.
I'm just Donovan kidding, Scott Stapp. I'm just kidding.
We love you, Scott Stapp.
I'd rather you live here than Kid Rock.
I love Kid Rock.
Well, lucky for you,
you love
both.
Kid Rock?
It was 19. I love that song.
Ugh.
I know you hate it.
Yeah, but Kid Rock, the person.
I don't know the person.
Scott really. Stapp seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
Kid Rock needs to move out of town. Let's start a bunch of feuds.
Kid Rock could be listening to. Who knows? Don Rubois
from
Wisconsin.
He'll wake up at 4 p.m.
Text. Rex Road, you grumpy old guy. You need to learn what real music is. There's a lot of grumpy old man talk surrounding Rexro today. Some of it for
me. It's not like Creed is new. I'm not like yelling about the new, the new hot band Creed.
Yeah,
they're old too. Just some old music is good and some is bad.
I've long felt this way. Now look, Creed is not the best. I will be the first one to admit. Nickelback, not great. But I do think, and we may have talked about this before, I do think there has become this like fad out there where it's cool to hate Nickelback and cool to hate Creed. So maybe people who don't hate Creed and Nickelback as much as they let on act like they hate Creed and Nickelback just to try to be cool, try to fit in.
I think you're probably right. I'd like to say that in 1990 whatever, when I first got assaulted by the sounds of Creed, I absolutely said this is garbage to anybody who would listen. And I can get that verified. In fact,
I believe you.
We had a friend, I'm going to call him out by name, Drew Chabot, actually told a few of us, like, this is like one of the great rock albums that's ever been made. And like, I mean, it must have been 20 minutes of screaming at him in the 1990s. So I mean, this is consistency at least.
I can't believe you guys don't like Nickelback. I love Nickelback.
I don't hate Nickelback. I mean, I'm not sitting there at home listening to Nickelback.
I would never listen to them. I think I know like two songs.
Yeah. I mean, I know more. I mean, they used to be pretty popular on the radio. Yeah. So I know a lot of their songs. And, you know, like
I get them mixed up with some of these other bad bands too. So,
I bring up this conversation and like literally as I'm talking, Henry texting in, Creed is the only band that could make me appreciate Nickelback while I was talking about it.
Cool. There you go.
Nickelback and Creed.
There you go.
So, I mean, I guess there's legitimate hatred from people of Creed and Nickelback, but I do think some people say, you know what? I don't like Creed. And deep down, you kind of do.
I guess. But I think I think it's even more just with Nickelback. I feel like I just see a lot. I think that it's just an easy name to make fun of, I guess. Yeah.
But good Canadian fellas up there just making music.
Are they Canadian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Backstreet Boys?
More Canadian rock.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, boy band. I mean, it's fine.
We get it. One Direction's your boy band, Joe. We get it. It's okay.
Is it One Direction technically a boy band?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah?
They're not girls.
Listen. Give me my Led Zeppelin box set and leave me alone, okay?
Donovan texting in, Nickelback is the Taylor Swift of rock music. Is that good or bad?
I think Taylor Swift's
good. I
enjoy
some T-Swizzle.
Taylor Swift's amazing.
Yeah, I actually like Taylor Swift.
I don't know that I would go amazing, but she's good.
I mean, she's...
Close personal friend, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're biased because you're
they're
friends with her. Yeah.
Chase McCabe tweeting in, I'd like to thank at R. Stanley NHL and Michelle Knezovic for continuing to torture Joe Rexrow with music on 102.5 The Game. It brings me so much entertainment. That's what we're here for, entertaining people.
Well, I know. I need to shut up about other bands I hate so that Michelle doesn't play them coming in.
I have a great memory, Joe.
I know. At least we haven't had it. Well, never mind. I was going to say, let's not even speak it into existence. I agree that we need more Wu-Tang on the show. We have a Jizza intro we used to play for TD, so
we'll find it. Yeah. It's in the catalog somewhere. So Rex Road, I think Tennessee is going to win this game tomorrow against South Carolina. I think their offense is going to play well, and I think this is another good opportunity for their defense to step up against a South Carolina offense that's been really bad thus far. So I will be surprised if Tennessee loses against South Carolina, and if they get it done, Joe, that keeps the path to 6 wins. Pretty likely at that point with South Alabama and Vanderbilt still on the schedule. You would improve to 4-2 tomorrow with a win, and I think 6 is pretty attainable at that point.
Yeah, I mean, when they won last week, I said they're getting 6, and I'm counting this one. So I am. I'm counting this one. I think it would be a massive disappointment to lose to South Carolina, which I think is the second worst team in the SEC.
I could see that.
I'm trying to think of who else would be competing with South Carolina for that honor.
I mean,
maybe Kentucky homecoming opponent LSU.
Well, I mean, look, I don't really believe this to be the case. Texas A&M looks pretty bad right now.
That's incredible.
But I don't believe they're as bad as South Carolina, obviously. But
I mean, this was supposed to be the big game of the year.
I know.
It's prime time.
I know.
Alabama at Texas A&M.
Yep. And
we're all going to be watching Jimbo.
Yeah. Tough loss to Mississippi State last week.
At home.
Contract extension. That just continues to blow my mind.
I mean, I think it was Paul Feinbaum. We've talked about it too. When he was on Darren Donk and Chase, and he said it, and I agree with him. I mean, that was a preemptive, don't come after our coach LSU don't come after our coach LSU because we know you're about to fire Coach O. Which is crazy, but actually I don't think it's that far away.
I don't either.
Move, but it's just stupid.
It's very stupid, and it looks, quite frankly, pretty dumber by each passing game. So we'll see what happens on that front. Joe Rexrode, the sense of excitement for this college basketball season for Tennessee Volunteers men's basketball. What's your sense of this fan base, of how excited they are about this team?
That's why you started talking about Creed at the beginning of the seven, because you didn't want to talk much about basketball,
burning
right?
Some time.
You decided to, let's get Rexrode whining
fired
about
up.
Creed, and then we wanted to talk much basketball.
You
I don't know.
On.
Yeah.
By the way.
Well done. Well
I don't
played.
Hate college basketball as much as Rexrode thinks.
Yeah. College basketball.
It's fine.
Oh, I can't wait, guys. This just gets me so excited.
Oh, man. 2-1, Robbie. 2-1.
She's already abandoning Kentucky football.
Because with Porth, undefeated. Yeah. I mean, we know what matters in Lexington. I don't know. First of all, I think that Tennessee football being good right now, coming off a really impressive game and showing some positive signs, I think that like there's some places where, you know, like you can't get to basketball season fast enough. You're hoping your football team's good, but it's about hoops. Tennessee fans, I think they should be excited about the men's basketball team. I think they could be really good, but I think football is actually distracting them from that. So that's got to be nice for them. Yeah,
it is.
All right, what are you laughing about?
Our friend Gregory on Twitter has put your face on Scott Stapp's head using the Reface app.
That is absolutely incredible.
Rex Rhodes' face on Scott Stapp's body is pretty amazing. I've just tweeted it out at @RStanleyNHL on Twitter.
Good Lord.
Nice work, Gregory. We appreciate you. When we come back, it is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got some picks in both college football and the NFL as well. The Titans, the Vols, and Vandy all on the table as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We pick games both in the NFL and in college football. The Vols, Vandy, and the Titans on the table as always. Joe Rex Road, a quick standings update in the competition here on Pigskin Pick'em.
Well, last week, Michelle and I both went 4-2, but she got her lock.
Correct.
You went 3-3. You and I both didn't get our lock. So at this point, Michelle, 17-7, 20 points, 3-1 on locks, big lead. You and I both 10-14, but I've got 12 points because I'm 2-2. You've got 10 points because you're 0-4 in your locks. So again, Costanza, whatever you think is your lock, yes. Whatever you think is your least locky pick, make that your lock.
Well, I probably need to get in the habit of deciding what my lock is going to be before I read the pick. So
just feel
I've not done that yet.
Well, that's the thing. If like lock comes in here, lock, then be Costanza and go against your instinct.
Yes. So with that in mind, let's get rolling here today. Michelle, you are in first place. So you get the first pick. Vandy against Florida. Florida favored by 38.5 in this game. You going with Vandy or Florida in this matchup?
It's lonely at the top, fellas.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Long season ahead. Long season, Michelle.
Long season. I know. But I had to talk a little crap. Okay. Florida is favored by 38.5.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to cover. Florida's going to cover. No, probably by the first half, honestly.
Wow.
I'm picking Florida.
There you go. Joe Rexroth, Florida favored by 38.5 in this game against Vanderbilt.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think at some point in this game, I agree, they will cover. But I'm going with Vanderbilt. I'm going with the, you know, total blowout, reserves on the field, you get the backdoor cover from the massive underdog. So give me Vandy and 38.5 freaking points.
This feels kind of like the Georgia game all over again where Joe's going with Vandy. I'm riding with Michelle on this one. Give me Florida to cover. It's a bad week for Vanderbilt to play Florida. They just lost to Kentucky last week. I think Florida takes out some anger. They win by about 45 to 50 points.
I didn't go with Vandy that week.
Yeah, you did.
Went phone Vandy to cover that week. Yes, you did.
All right, I'm going back.
Because Robbie and I both got it.
The spread was 30. I remember it. The spread was 34.5.
I mean, I swear to you, like I'm looking at it right here. I absolutely went with Georgia that week.
Go check the tape.
No, you went with Vandy.
I mean, it's written right here. Like I went with Georgia.
I will check the tape.
Go
for
check
you.
The tape.
I'll check the
check
tape.
Check the tape.
South Carolina versus Tennessee. The Vols favored by 10.5. Joe Rexroad, lead us off on this one. Tennessee and South Carolina. Vols by 10.5.
I don't like the half. I really don't like the half. I'd love 9.5. I'd feel great about 9.5. But I'm still going to go with the Vols. I think they're going to win by about, you know, something like in the range of 34-21.
I will go with the Vols as well. I think they win by 2 touchdowns. So 14, I think, is the final margin of victory for Josh Heupel. It will not be as easy as it was last week moving the ball, but I think Tennessee wins by 2 touchdowns in the end. So give me the Vols in this game. Michelle Knezevic, the Vols favored by 10.5 against South Carolina.
I'm going with the candy corn jerseys, the Vols. And I would just like to say, I did call a shot that Hendon Hooker a couple weeks ago would be the starting quarterback and be killing it. And here we are.
He's doing pretty well.
Nice job.
Doing pretty well. The Titans and the Jags, a highly anticipated matchup this week between Mike Vrabel and Urban Meyer. Titans favored by 4.5 in this game on the road. This one's a tough one because, quite frankly, after last week, it's difficult to trust the Titans. But at some point, I just think everything that's happened this week, a little bit too much. And then you factor in Jacksonville also sucks. Give me the Titans in this game. I think they cover the 4.5-point spread. Michelle Knezevic, the Titans and the Jags. Titans favored by 4.5.
I'm going with the Titans, too. And I don't know if we'll be here if we lose, if we don't cover, because that'll just be bad, guys.
Well, get a win.
Yeah, I think the Titans will cover. I think this game could be interesting for a while.
Oh, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, there will, something interesting will be happening around Everbank Field.
That's correct.
And not just in the pool that needs probably triple the chlorine that it has in it in the one end zone.
Duval.
Yes, there you go.
Well, what kind of crowd will be there on Sunday?
The Titans. Yeah, I don't know. Good stuff. Come to see the circus.
Maybe so. All right, we move to the individual portion of Pigskin Pick'em. We can go either college football or in the NFL. Michelle Knezevic, your first individual selection.
I'm staying in the NFL. Tampa Bay versus Miami. Tampa is favored by 9.5 points. I'm going Tom Brady and the Bucks. Jacoby Brissett and the Dolphins, they have no shot.
So Tampa covering the 9.5 point, 9.5 point spread, a big spread in the NFL, but Tampa covering the spread against the Dolphins. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
Yeah, I'm going to go. It's interesting matchup of teams that were so much excitement around these teams and their big opportunities last week, and they both got just thumped. Arkansas and Ole Miss. Arkansas is at Ole Miss. Ole Miss minus 5.5. Great story. Sam Pittman, great job at Arkansas. And certainly Ole Miss was exposed last week. But I think at home, I like Ole Miss to win that game by a touchdown or more. So give me Ole Miss and give the 5.5.
So going Ole Miss against Arkansas, minus 5.5. I'll start in the NFL with mine. It's a little bit self-serving since I'll be at the game. So let's put a little bit more stakes on it. The Packers favored by 3 against the Bengals in this game. They just lost Jaire Alexander. That is a massive loss for this Packers defense. So my advice is probably to take the over in the game between the Packers and the Bengals. Packers minus 3, I'll go with the Pack. Give me Aaron Rodgers and company to light up what I believe is a fraudulent Cincinnati defense. Aaron Rodgers will do whatever he wants. The Packers cover against the Bengals and make it my lock. I'm locking it down on the Green Bay Packers, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. I'll have a live report.
You're putting a lot on your happiness in that stadium.
I really am. Man. This could be a miserable drive back.
Just load up on the skyline, and all will be well no matter what happens.
Right. Joe Rexrode, your second individual selection is whom?
So I got the Eagles at the Panthers. Panthers got exposed a bit, too. A lot of teams getting exposed. Yep. Got to bounce back and play the next week. Cowboys are awfully good. Panthers at home, minus 3. I just don't think the Eagles are good. And I think the Panthers are, you know, a middling, solid team. I think they're going to thump the Eagles in a response game for them at home. So give me the Panthers minus 3 and make it my lock.
Ooh, locking it down.
Guaranteed.
On the Carolina Panthers. Michelle Knezevic, your second individual selection.
Okay, I have like 4 college games, and I'm just going to pick one right now, okay?
All right.
Michigan State is a 4.5-point favorite over Rutgers. Rutgers absolutely stinks. So I'm going with Michigan State. I think Ohio State beat them by 60 the other day.
It was not good from Rutgers the other day.
I said this last week, and it didn't. I was like, you were right because you picked them against Ohio State, right?
I picked them, and you were like, I hope Rutgers doesn't do good because Jared will say something. I was like, Rutgers is so bad, and yeah, they beat them.
But again,
the week
before they lost 20-13 at Michigan, and yep, like they should have won the game. So I don't know. That's an interesting one. So it's 4.5. Rutgers getting 4.5. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
So, Michelle going with Michigan State. Sparty in the game over Rutgers. Give me Alabama minus 17.5 against Texas A&M. This game supposedly had a lot of hype heading into it. Texas A&M has been awful, and I think Alabama's figured some things out on the defensive side of the ball. Give me Alabama to roll in this game. I think they're going to win by about 27 in this game. Alabama against Texas A&M.
What a night for Jimbo that'll be if that's how it turns out.
That's right. Whew. I will lead us off with the final selection as well. Give me the Dallas Cowboys -7 against the New York Giants. New York Giants coming off a big win against the New Orleans Saints. That Cowboys offense has looked borderline unstoppable so far, and I just don't think that that New York is going to follow it up with 2 weeks in a row. So give me the Cowboys -7 against the New York Giants. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
This is another one of those where I'd love another half point here, but I think the Colts at Baltimore, I think they're going to potentially flat out win this game. I certainly think it's like a field goal game at worst. So right now it's Ravens -7. Give me the Colts and the points.
The Colts and the points for Joe Rexroad against the Ravens. Michelle Knezovic, your final individual selection.
Well, it wouldn't be right. I will be in Lexington this weekend, and I strayed away from them last week. Kentucky, LSU. Kentucky's favored by 3.5 points. It's our homecoming, our alumni weekend.
Which is still amazing.
And the Tigers are going down, and that's my lock, fellas.
Wow. Guaranteed!
Locking it down with Kentucky football. So far, that's gone pretty well for Michelle.
How dare you schedule us for homecoming?
Coach O, he's going to be fired up, man. He's going to be telling his team all week, we are their homecoming opponent. Or wait, what'd you call it? Alumni
weekend. Alumni weekend. Funny little story. They better crowd surf Mark Stoops. When he has a big win in the locker room, he's like, guys, pick me up, pick me up. And they like throw him up there. It's great. It's great.
That makes me root against Kentucky even more.
Robbie!
Knowing that.
That's How'd right. that go for you last week, Rob?
Yeah, that was your lock, right?
Was that
your
was lock? His oh,
yeah.
lock.
Locked yeah, by the way, you need to go to the tape. I went with Vandy in another game you guys picked him. I did not. Then the standings are wrong.
I will go to the tape.
Go to the tape. I'm going to go through all of our picks. There was another game where I was the one who picked. I did not pick them with 34.5 against Georgia. Absolutely wrong. Absolutely inaccurate.
That is today's edition of Pigskin Pick'em. Michelle, you don't need luck, so I'm not going to wish it to you. Joe Rexroad, good luck.
Thank
well, that's
you.
A compliment, Michelle.
Good luck.
You're 17-7. Yeah, why would I wish you good luck?
Yeah, I want us to make this a competition,
yeah.
Which means we wishing poor on you. Sorry.
That's right. We'll come back. We'll react to some of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Give a final look ahead at the weekend of action here locally in the sporting world. All that coming up next. By the way, speaking of tomorrow, make sure you join Chase McCabe at Brewhouse 100 at 8098 Highway 100 for Chaser's Tailgate. Stop by and hang with Chase, watch the SEC Game of the Week, and enjoy beer specials and some great food as well. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to GameNashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half off on gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slim's, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Get your deals now at GameNashville.com/deals. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, equal housing lender.
Now that's a good rock band right there.
It's pretty good stuff.
How do you make everybody happy, right?
Yeah. I mean, how are you not happy if you hear that song? And John Oates, also lives in Nashville, by the way, could take Scott Stapp or Kid Rock, okay?
There you go.
So.
And they appeal
and,
to
and Daryl Hall.
All generations.
What's that?
They appeal to all generations.
They
My 16-year-old sister was like, hey, I love this old school song. And I'm like, oh, let me see. And it was a Hall & Oates song. I'm like, I got to tell Rex Road. That's
Caroline right. Elizabeth Rexroad's first concert will always be
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates with me.
There you go.
At Bridgestone. And Tears for Fears.
Chad from Chattanooga texting in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Why does Rex Rhodes' face on Scott Stapp's head remind me of Nicolas Cage in Con Air? Some good stuff.
I was trying to think
what a role that was.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what it reminded me of. It's nothing good. But Gregory, nice work, man. Nice
I believe work. An apology.
The face app is pretty good.
An apology is in order to Joe Rexroad.
Yes, that's right. Darn it.
So we were getting all over him last segment about picking Vanderbilt plus the spread against
Georgia. I knew I wasn't that bad.
We were wrong.
We officially apologize to you, Joe.
You had it right. We apologize to you. I was thinking of the Tennessee Tech-Tennessee line in which you took Tennessee Tech in that game.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb.
Because it was the week before when UConn played somebody.
Well, yeah. No, I had Army covering, which they did like at halftime, and then they did the thing that I expect Florida to do this week. That backdoor cover happened. Yeah, I was like, I know I'm not. Like, I know I actually picked Georgia that week. So, whew. Actually, I was confident, and then you guys were both telling me. I was like, oh, no, maybe I'm wrong, which would mean that I have a fake score, by the way. So, all's well.
You're correct. Score's accurate. Everything's good.
Everything is well in the world.
That's right.
Oh.
Deep exhale from Rex.
Thank goodness.
Congratulations, by the way, to Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators. He has officially been named to the Swiss Olympic team, which comes as a surprise of no one. He is the face of Swiss hockey, not only now, but all time. He is the face of Swiss hockey. So, yeah, he's going to be on the Olympic team. And could probably play on the Olympic team until he's 55, if he wanted to. Just my guess.
He could also front any boy band that they might want to create in Switzerland and probably endorse any product.
Yeah.
MC any event.
He's a good-looking guy, that Roman Josi.
What was it? Who the heck was that? From ESPN. He recently interviewed Josi.
It was Buchegross.
Yeah. He's like, what do you call him? Like impossibly handsome or something like that? Yeah.
It's Buchegross. Yeah.
Chase said the other day, you get lost in his eyes.
Yeah. Oh, that Roman Josi.
I just enjoyed, like, he went on the Media Day tour for the NHL, and it made the rounds on social media. He drew the Predators logo and just how awful it was. I was like, thank God. I've been around this guy for 10 years at this point, and I've been trying to find something that he sucks at, and we found it, drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first thing he's done that wasn't perfect.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That was pretty bad. Pretty bad, Josi.
Pick it up. I think he's going to make the team, though.
So your other Preds Olympians?
It's interesting to think about. I think Forsberg is going to be on Team Sweden. I think Ekholm will be on Team Sweden. So there's three with Josi, Forsberg, Ekholm. I think Granlund going to be on Team Finland. So that would be four.
See, this is where, like, on Finland, I don't have a great – there's a lot of good Finnish players, though.
There are. I think he'll be on there.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be, like, a top six player, but I think he'll be on Team Finland. So that would be four. I think UC Saros has got a good shot. That would be five.
Is Rask, like – is he doing it?
Nah. He's out for half the year anyway.
So it'd be potentially, like, who are the top – other contenders in goal?
I'd have to go through all the Finnish goalies in my head.
No one comes directly to mind. That's like,
unless I'm just missing somebody obvious, which I could be.
Makes me mad again about 2018 when Pekkarinen.
Well, Tolvanen, he was on the Finnish team in 2018. A little bit more competition this time around.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yes, I know you know.
I wrote a column every other day about how he's gonna, come in and dominate the NHL like at age 18.
Yeah. So there's, if he makes it, that would be six. That's a pretty significant number.
Yeah. So how could you be a bad team if you have that many Olympians?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they won't be.
No one for Canada has a shot?
I don't think so.
Right?
Yeah. They might be loaded, the Canadians.
Yeah, they've got a couple options. They got an option or two up there. Yeah.
I would say that they do. Somebody asking if Pekka is going to be on the Finnish team. I doubt it.
That'd be awesome, though.
He just says, you know what? Coming back for the Olympic run.
I mean,
I'd root for it.
Why not? Is it not worth a call? Is it not worth Pekkarinen giving a call to somebody?
Sure.
I mean, he's probably still in great shape. I think that'd be an amazing story.
I think it would be, too.
They're doing cool Pekkarinen pucks this year. The Predators are selling them. They have his number and everything like that. I saw them the other day. So, going to miss him this year.
I'm sure at some point, maybe not this year, but maybe this year, we'll see number 35 going up to the rafters.
You think this year?
I think it could be. I have no inside info. I just think it could be.
I'd wait.
I think it's largely up to him.
I'd wait a little bit.
How long are we waiting?
I don't know, but I kind of like the idea. It's kind of like the Hall of Fame or whatever. Like, give a few years and then come back to it, but you know how the Preds like to put up banners.
Yeah.
Had to get that in.
Always those jokes. Every time they tweet something out, I just look at the replies, and there's at least five or six banners in there for sure. Henry texting in, Creed was to the 90s what Poison was to the 80s. Do you agree with that statement?
Huh. That's interesting. Poison's one of those bands that when they were out, I thought they were awesome because I was like 12.
Yeah.
And then as you got older, you realize they were pretty crappy. So it's hard. Like, it's based on your perspective, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, like, I love all the cheesy music from the 70s and 80s because I was a kid.
Sure. Well, that's why some people
but, like,
love
the
Creed,
cheesy movies.
The music of their childhood.
Right. Well, exactly. So for me, as someone in my 20s, I thought it was crap, right?
Yeah.
So, like, so that's the difference.
Well, it's like me. That's, like, everything that comes out now, I think sucks. And I would, like, I swore to myself in high school, I would never be that guy. But I listen to top 40 music now. It is god awful. I can't do it. And I'm already old. I'm 29. I've already turned into that guy.
It's inevitable. It's like Thanos.
Yeah.
I mean, just snap your fingers. It's going to happen, man. Now, you got Elijah in the studio. Now, he's another old soul who likes you know, good music from way before he was born.
He just told me that the lead singer of Poison is Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, he was Rock of Love guy.
Yeah, that's right. Right, yeah.
Man, we watched. There's one I watched. Oh, yeah. Katie and I watched that. Good Lord. Oh.
That's what I know him from. How funny is that? I don't even know he was that.
Didn't they used to have like the back to was that VH1? Was the Brett Michaels and the Flavor of Love?
Flavor Flav.
Oh,
Flavor
Flav? With Brigitte Nielsen, right? Was it Flavor Flav and Brigitte Nielsen, which is just quite a combo. Yeah.
What a television period that was.
My goodness. The good old days.
That's right.
But yeah, Poison. Do you know any Poison songs?
Can't say I do, but I probably listen to them on
the
show.
You'll hear them and be like, okay, I know that.
That's right.
Next week, we can get to some Poison on here.
We can't. Joe Rexroad, have fun in Florida this weekend. We'll see what happens with the Titans coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, have fun. Remember, so you got Skyline for sure. You're probably going to have a blowout win over the Bengals, but you know you got Skyline.
Crushing some Skyline chili, raging in Cincinnati, Packers, Bengals.
And we're going to find out, baby Porth.
That's right. I'll be back Monday morning, hopefully. All of us will be back, hopefully. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.